This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we are 58 years of service to our clients and community. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we welcome you, the rich, the only listener, to our family, because relationships matter to all of us. We are Cherry Hill Volvo.
Very happy to welcome back to the show. Tim Murtaugh is the Director of Communications for President Trump's reelection campaign. And, of course, he's a local guy from this area. So, Tim, welcome back. How you been?
Doing well, Rich. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm a Delaware County boy and Temple University class of 1991.
Well, listen, you are one of us then, my man. You are one of us, no doubt. Are you responsible for the cheesesteak the president had on the flight back?
No, I wish I could claim credit for it, and I can't tell you what cheesesteak shop that came from. I don't have that information. I don't think it's classified. I just don't know it.
Not a national security issue or anything?
No, I don't believe so. No, although the best Philadelphia cheesesteak should actually be a national security issue. You're right.
It should be in the National Archives. Like, when we find out about Kennedy's assassination, we'll find that out too. You know, like,
at the risk of alienating anybody, my favorite steaks were always gym steaks at 4th and South.
Really? That is controversial, because that's kind of a tourist trap. So I'm just saying. But
when I was in school, it wasn't really, it hadn't become the tourist trap yet.
Tim Murtaugh, the president again in Pennsylvania over the weekend. I mean, I think I get the point. You really believe Pennsylvania is a critical state to win, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, it's absolutely critical. It was huge for the president in 2016, and it's going to be big again. And we are dead certain that the president is going to win Pennsylvania again. The atmosphere and the energy in PA every time the president goes there is just electric. And, you know, contrast that with the energy that you don't see behind Joe Biden's campaign. Wherever the president goes, whether it's in Pennsylvania or other key states like Michigan and Minnesota and Wisconsin and North Carolina, the energy and the enthusiastic crowds that we see are just tremendous. And it's exactly what the media missed in 2016. They didn't see the movement coming. And it's happening again. And contrast it with Joe Biden. I mean, that guy, he could hold a campaign event in a broom closet, and he's not generating any excitement. The president's campaign, we have now 2.3 million volunteers who are out knocking on doors and making phone calls. We've made direct contact with 110 million voters. And that's something that Biden's campaign just is not doing, because they're not capable of it, because people on the ground in states are not excited about him. And Pennsylvania, we've made such incredible gains in voter registration. There are 166,000 more Republicans than Democrats as compared to 2016. You know, Democrats still have a registration edge, but the gap has narrowed by 166,000 since Election Day 2016. So the president won it. It was a close victory last time. We have high, high confidence that he's going to win it again by a larger margin than the last time.
So how's the response been to the president's nomination of Amy Coney Barrett? And also, what's the strategy going into the debate tomorrow night?
Well, Amy Coney Barrett, the response to her has been just fantastic. She is impeccably qualified. Her credentials are unassailable. She's on the federal court now. And remember, she was valedictorian of Notre Dame Law School, and she has 3 times been honored as the faculty member of the year at Notre Dame Law School. And every single member, full-time member of the faculty at Notre Dame, signed a letter when she was nominated to the Seventh Circuit Court in 2016. And she was approved in a bipartisan fashion last time. She's eminently qualified. And we're afraid that Democrats are going to not be able to resist their darker impulses and attack her for being Catholic. We've already seen signs of it. The Democrats in some circles want to treat being Catholic as equated to being a member of some kind of weird cult. And I thought that we were sort of beyond that as Americans, that you have a religious test for people in federal government service. You know, I thought maybe that was put to bed when John Kennedy was elected president. But in some circles, no. And the Democrats really should resist the urge to treat Catholicism as something that's outside of the mainstream. And the question is, where's Joe Biden in all of this? He's a devout Catholic himself. Why doesn't he stand up and say, you know, you shouldn't attack somebody simply for being Catholic? This is the United States of America. And so naturally, I think that'll be a debate topic. Our goal in the debate is to hold Joe Biden accountable for the radical agenda that he's carrying for the extreme left. And we expect to see a Joe Biden who is ready on debate night. Here's a guy who's been a Washington politician for 47 years. He knows his way around the debate stage. He had 11 debates during the Democrat primaries, and he beat 24 opponents. He knows what he's doing. He's been through this kind of thing many, many times before. You know, some in Washington, you know, has the reputation of being a master debater, and that's what we're ready for.
Tim Murtaugh is with me. He is the director of communications for the president's reelection campaign. Let me ask you about the New York Times story, Tim, because obviously that was a big story that dropped yesterday. I know the president addressed it at his press conference yesterday, called it fake news. The Times alleging that he hasn't paid federal income taxes over the years, that he's has all this debt. What's the response to that?
You know, it's a big nothing burger. I think people have to take a little trip through memory lane here. In 2016, right before the first debate, the New York Times dropped almost the same exact story about the president's taxes. This was litigated in 2016. Americans know that the president has been a successful guy. I suspect that he knows the tax code better than you and I do, Rich. And in fact, the president has paid tens of millions of dollars in taxes. And so the story is completely bogus. And, you know, it's telling that when, you know, the New York Times contacts the Trump Organization and says, hey, we're running the story. And the Trump Org says, OK, can we see the documents that you're talking about? And the New York Times says, no, we're not going to show them to you. So they're asking for comment on documents that they're not even going to let the subject of the story look at, which is crazy. And it's the same. At what point does the New York Times become an in-kind contribution to Joe Biden, really? Because they ran the same exact story 4 years ago, and Americans saw it and knew it and elected President Trump president anyway. It's bogus. Of course he's paid taxes. There's a couple of things that story maybe inadvertently uncovered. First, nowhere in it, as sensational as they tried to make it, nowhere in it does it accuse the president of doing anything wrong. Nowhere. It's not in there. Secondly, it confirms what the president has said all along, which is that he hasn't released his taxes fully because he remains under audit. The New York Times confirms that the audit is still ongoing. It's been 10 years and it's still ongoing. So that is in there, and that's a fact that the president hasn't released his taxes because he remains under audit by the IRS. And finally, I know they would be dying to report this if they could ever find anything about it, but it's not there. You notice that there's nothing in there about the Russians or anybody else in the foreign nationals that the president is financially intertwined with, and you know that would be the screaming headline if they could have found it, and it's not there. There's a huge nothing burger here in this story. They did it 4 years ago, and it had no impact on people's opinions of the president. And it's another game they're playing right before the debate to drop this story, which frankly says nothing. It doesn't. You know they'd be dying to accuse the president of doing something wrong if they could do it, and they can't. They can't. There's nothing in there that even accuses the president of wrongdoing.
So it's
a pre-debate tactic. It's all it is.
And Tim, it is a pre-debate tactic because the last thing they want to do tomorrow night is to discuss Hunter Biden, right? And what came out with the Senate report.
So where's the interest here? When his father was the vice president of the United States, Hunter Biden got a wire transfer of $3.5 million from the billionaire wife of the former mayor of Moscow. These are people who are connected to Vladimir Putin. $3.5 million in cash, wired to the son of the sitting vice president of the United States. And the New York Times hasn't written one word about that. Where is the curiosity? You know, why the Russians were sent $1 million? And why were the Chinese giving Joe Biden's son and Joe Biden's brother and sister-in-law a $100,000 shopping spree on the Chinese credit? Why? What were they hoping to achieve when Joe Biden was the vice president of the United States? The lack of curiosity by the national news media about why in the world these foreign entities would be showering money on the son of the vice president. They just don't care. And they'd rather talk about old news about the president's taxes, which everyone already knew 4 years ago, and not even be able to come up with even an accusation of doing something wrong. It's an astounding double standard. They look the other way when it's Joe Biden, and when it's a blah, bland story about a billionaire businessman and his very complicated taxes, they think it's like the biggest, it's like Watergate all over again for them. It's just an in-kind contribution to the Democrats, like it always is. It's the New York Times, and that's exactly what people should remember. They are in the tank for Joe Biden, and they're not even trying to hide it. It's a pre-debate dirty trick, and there's nothing there.
Well, speaking of debates, I'm glad you mentioned earlier that the president's not going to lower expectations. Joe Biden is, in fact, a master debater, and that is key that you're pointing that out, because I think people have to remember that. He has a long career of doing that. So, you know.
Yeah, he had the reputation in the Senate as being the guy who wouldn't shut up. So I think he knows what he's doing on the debate stage.
Tim Murtaugh, Director of Communications for the President's Reelection Campaign. Always fun having you. You are a Delco guy, and you have not lost that trait. We appreciate that. We will talk.
Thank you, Rich.
We'll talk again,
Tim. I'll take that as a compliment. Anytime.
Take care.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.